fantastic. And I've talked to my wife, and I'm going to do my best. I think Andrea's going to try her best to come down as often as she can too in the next little while. And who knows, that my wife's a lot more fun than me. You're too scared to just, oh, she is. There's no doubt about it. And you know, she often calls me the Grinch of Christmas, but it's not true. And well, maybe a little bit. But we put up a, I actually went out and got a real Christmas tree yesterday. So I chopped one down. Yes, went out. Well, is that a person's property? And so, yeah, and now I feel like Andrea's here this morning. So, because this is what Andrea does. And thank you, Cherry. We went, actually, not far from here, to Waddleup. I didn't realise it was there. He's been there 2 years. He was a character. He goes, someone came in and wanted the most unusual, crazy tree, that, and they're all live, of course, trees in the ground. And he sort of talked like a bit of an ocker Aussie guy with his thongs on, of course, and a pair of stubbies, and singlet. And we got there, and it didn't look like he had many customers. And he goes, "My business is growing every year." And I said, and as he's, you know, and he said, "Oh, you won't believe what happened," because Andrea talks to everyone, and you won't believe what happened. He said, This couple came in yesterday, and they wanted a tree that was like just really strange. I said, so I brought them over to this tree. My sheep got into this tree, and they actually crawled through the fence and pulled it over and started eating all the what are they called? Those needles. The needles. Thank you. The needles off it, and they looked at this tree and they go, "That's perfect. We'll have that one." And he says, "I never thought I was going to sell that tree." Funny things, Christmas stories, hey? And who's got a real Christmas tree at their house? Am I the only one? Who's jealous? Yeah. So I've actually, when Sarah was at home, Sarah got married last weekend. That's why I was having dinner here. So, When Sarah was at home, she would always want a real live Christmas tree, and we used to drive, because I didn't realise there was a place close. He's only been open a couple of years, the guy, our fellow, I was just telling you about, and we used to drive out sometimes past the Swan Valley to cut a tree down, because that's where they grow trees. And anyway, Sarah always wanted the biggest tree we could find in the whole property. And oh, I've got a four-wheel drive. I used to put it up. Sometimes I have to put it on the roof because it wouldn't fit in the car. And then I have to get it upstairs because we used to live upstairs. And the needles just go everywhere. The cat, like, you know, like you saw in the video, the cat would climb the tree and wreck everything and pull all the baubles off. Isn't Christmas just a great fun time? See, for those of us that aren't OCD, it's fantastic. All right. So, Merry Christmas, everyone. So we're going to start our Christmas services today. Is that all right? And then next week, we're going to have a lot of fun with our Christmas service here at Wellart. And so that's going to be fantastic as well. And of course, back on the 22nd of December, who's going to join me here at Wellart on the 22nd? Give me a wave. Come on. That's good. We'll all be here. So let's do that. And after that, the 29th is a combined board short Sunday, which you saw on the screen. And then you're not back until the 5th of January here, because that's combined service of Frio on the 29th of December. And then, of course, just reminding you all, 5th of January, we have Pastor Lynette Tobin here. So you don't want to miss that. She's always dynamic and will have a good word for us, I'm sure. So who's excited? I'm always excited. Doesn't take much for me. All right. So Christmas speaks into the hopelessness and restlessness of our day by revealing a God who has been on a mission to save our lives. Is anyone grateful for what God has done in your life? So let me read to you one of my four Christmas messages that I'm having to prepare this year from Isaiah 9 verse 6. And it goes like this. I think we've got it as well on the screen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that you are a God that has come to be a part of us. We thank you that there is no other God like you, because you only, the only God that identifies with us. And we thank you, Lord, that you came, and we recognize you at this Christmas, in this Christmas season, to be and in our understand who we are. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. For unto us is the title of my message this morning, because God came to fix our brokenness. Is anyone a little bit broken? I am. All of us, yeah. All of us are a little bit broken, whether we recognize it or not. And if we don't recognize it, God normally deals with us anyway. So when he made good on that promise, he did so in an unexpected way, by sending his son, the anointed one. He is the Savior who lives in us, the King who will return for us. And the Old Testament records more than 300 times that the prophets spoke about the birth of Jesus. That's quite incredible. About his birth, the life and death of the Messiah, the chosen one. And he'd be recognized in the most unusual way. And what's even more amazing to the human mind is that of all the 300 prophecies about Jesus, he fulfilled every single one. That Jesus was born in Bethlehem of a virgin and from the line of Abraham was no accident. Rather, it was predicted by the prophets centuries before his birth. God provided a roadmap foretelling the coming of his son. I have some statistics from a mathematics professor, Peter Stoner, from 1944, who took only what it would take for even 8 of the prophecies to come true, and it went into the trillions of trillions. It was like you cannot number them. And the reality is that Jesus fulfilling over 300 prophecies is mathematically and deeply unlikely to be a coincidence. And it is the magnificent details of these prophecies that we can find confidence in the true Jesus' significance as the Son of God. And today's a good day to celebrate who God is in our life. And it's a day to reflect on his incredible goodness to us, his people undeserving, yet totally set free. So let me read it to you one more time. For unto us a child is, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. For unto us. I don't make any New Year's resolutions, because I know too well that I'm not going to keep them very often. So I'd rather not make them. I am a flawed individual, and I can't do some things that I think I can. I need help. And I want to say this morning that I am grateful that God knows me intimately. Unto us. With all my little faults, with all the little things that I, when I say things I shouldn't say, all that stuff, God still cares. Isn't it remarkable? And so, I'm not always like this, but I thought I'd tell you a little story. Some of you may have heard parts of this, but this is the long version. See, I may be the king of impetuous decisions. One's not so well thought through. I'm not so good when it comes to sentimental value. And at my house, if something has sat in the same spot for some time, it is likely to get thrown out. About 15 years ago, something had been sitting in the same spot in my mind for way too long. My wife's wedding dress had to go. Without any consultation whatsoever with my better half, I threw her wedding dress in the skip bin out the front of the house, along with our wedding cake, which she had preserved, and stacks of old family photos, many of our kids when they were young. A few days later, my wife asked, as she walked out to the garage, we used to live in an old house in South Fremantle, "Where's the box with my wedding dress in it?" I actually never thought she'd realise. I gulped and said, "You don't need that anymore. It won't fit you anyway. It's just taking up space." You think I would have learnt? I've been married quite a while. That is probably the most stupid thing I could ever say to my wife, ever. And so she says, "What?" I'll say the nice version. She says, "What have you done with it?" I said, this is a true story. I said, "Who cares? You don't need it anymore." And I admit to being quite a slow learner and saying another very, very stupid thing. By this time, steam was coming out of my wife Andrea's ears, and she asked again, "Where is it?" I decided at that point it was best not to answer her and hope she would calm down. Another very stupid thought on my part. "Where is it?" she says. "I threw it in the skip bin." "You did what? Why would you throw my wedding dress in the skip bin?" "Because you don't need it anymore." "Who are you to tell me I don't need my wedding dress anymore? I'm so mad with you." And at that point, Andrea looks back out at the shelving in the garage and says, "Where's all the family photos? You haven't looked at them for years," I says. "You didn't. You better hope that skip bin is still out the front and you can go and live with your mother." Let's just say, anyway. The story goes on. The bin was totally full. I got inside it. It was one of those 10 metre big skip bins. We'd been doing some renovations. This was an old house. And anyway, I started pulling everything out. Bricks and all sorts of stuff and goo. And near the bottom was a slightly crushed white box with a pink bow around it. And at the other end of the bin, I also was able to salvage most of the family photos. I'm actually not sure if I would be alive to tell this story if I hadn't salvaged those things. You see, the truth is, you and I have done things we can't recover from. And fortunately, God knew this and sent his son to rescue us and make us right in his sight. God commended his love toward us while we were still sinners. Christ died for you
and I. Maybe when I get myself cleaned up a bit, I'll come to church. Maybe when I finally beat the addiction, I'll come. Maybe when I have something that I can give, I'll come. Maybe when I'm a little bit better, I'll come. Maybe when I've sorted out my anger, confusion, turmoil, whatever, then I'll come. I can come messed up. I can come with all my faults. I can come just as I am. I can come having thrown my wife's wedding dress out the night before, the day before. I can just come as I am. The truth is, we don't learn too well as humans, if we're honest with ourselves. We're still making the same mistakes our forefathers made. And yet, if we step back for a moment and look at what God has given us, we are blessed. Thank you, Lord. For unto me. Why don't we say it together? For unto me. Oh, I'm so grateful, Lord. A baby was sent by God, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes to hold and restrict the baby. It's what they were designed for back in those days. And if that was not enough, he was in a manger. And the book of Jeremiah states that God will raise up a righteous branch who will sprout from David's lineage. And he will rule as king. He will succeed in bringing justice and righteousness to all. He was a king with no palace, no guards, no palatial grounds, just a barn. Jesus did not come just for the educated and the well-to-do. And the fact is, without Jesus, we are all poor of spirit. The fact remains that Jesus was identifying with every single person on the planet by coming in the way that he did. He will come to you regardless of your circumstances. No matter what you've done, no matter what you wished you hadn't done. And so, in my case, I may not be the best husband at times. I may not always get it right. But he still gets me. And when I take a moment to ponder what Jesus has done for Andrew and I and my children, I am astounded at what he has been able to do, which I know Andrew and I could never do. And what really matters in a family is not where you eat, but who you eat with. Yes. Gifts without love don't mean much. You can be given stuff, but it means very little without love. But someone who has very little but takes the time to create something beautiful and give it to you from what they can afford, that is powerful love. I had absolutely nothing to offer Andrea that would make the situation right. Here's the thing. We had nothing whatsoever to offer Jesus that could change our destiny. We couldn't buy his love. We couldn't plead enough. We couldn't try to get close to him. And the truth is, there was a great divide because of the fallen state of humanity. And yet, the Bible is clear. Three words: God is love. God is. And there's no question that Jesus came into the world to redeem us from sin and from death. Oh Lord, I'm thankful for both. And he came to deliver us from the curse of the law. He came to set us free from our own human depravity, to destroy the works of the enemy. His precious blood brought victory to us. Isaiah continues. This is the Message Bible from Isaiah 53. There was nothing attractive about him. Nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him, on him. There is no question that hell got nervous when Jesus was born. And that's why Herod sent out the kill order. God's purposes will always overrule human intention. Always. Jesus was born in a barn strategically. And there is a purpose in your problem. There is a purpose in your pain. There is a purpose in your adversity. There is a purpose in the things that you don't understand. God's got a way through. God's got a plan. Hold on. It's going to be okay. The strategy he had through coming through a Virgin Mary that got Joseph so, wow, what is going on here? But God knew. It is not that God can't get you out of it. It's not that God can't afford it. It's not that God can't fix it. But if you have a problem and God does not fix it, there is a strategy that he is going to be using on your life. Put him in a barn, undetected, where only the wise men could find him. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Mary and Joseph had Jesus. And then had to hide him in Egypt for 2 years, living on the run. It's highly likely people bumped into Jesus while he was on the run and they didn't think anything of him whatsoever. And maybe people have bumped into you when you've been not in the greatest place in your life. And they can't see anything good coming from you at that time. He didn't look like a conqueror. And there have been times in my life where it's been difficult to know how to move forward. And unsure of how to make the best of a bad situation. Not so confident. And some situations in life can suck the joy right out of you. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. Oh Lord, we look to you. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. For unto us, there was something incredibly unique in what God has done. And sending his son in a manger in such a non-distinct way. He came in a way that ultimately every lover has come to understand. He came to a place to understand from your perspective. Those of you who have been married for any length of time, you understand this, right? I'm not sure how Andrea forgave me on my part as you guys were looking at me horrified. But the point is that we try and look at it from each other's perspective. Isn't that right, you two lovebirds? Jason and Menchie. What a great couple. Come on. So gorgeous seeing their family grow up in the house of God. Amen? So good. You cannot live with and love effectively somebody that you cannot understand. God says in his word, I'm going to have to know you in order to dwell within you. He came so that he could see what it would be like to be you and me. For unto us. Without Jesus coming, he wouldn't have known what tired was. I mean, God doesn't need sleep. I don't know if you've noticed. The Bible says he never sleeps nor slumbers. He's available all the time. He's available when you're lonely. He's available when you're empty. He's available when you're tempted. He's available when you're exhausted. He's even available when you're angry. And he knows what it's like to be you, for unto us a child was born. And Christmas is about a God that is so in love with you that he's willing to see your world from your perspective. He comes and tries on your clothes to be you. And when you try and pray, he gets you. It doesn't matter how you pray, he gets you. All we've got to do is open our mouth and he's there. And I'm grateful for any opportunities to celebrate the birth of Christ. Are you, church? I have had people come to me and tell me, but Jesus wasn't born on December 25. Who really cares? Does it matter? I don't think it does. I do care that he was born. Some of our friends from Africa, I see Pastor Susan up the back there. They call her Pastor Susan in Liberia. Hello, Pastor Susan. Long time friends now. Pastor Coley's got his birthday on December 25 because he doesn't know when he was born. The school principal in Liberia, Albert, he doesn't know when he was born either, so guess what his birthday is? December 25. I'm grateful that I know these guys. Who cares what date they were born? Come on. What we're talking about is celebrating what he has done for us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only. It's the love that really matters. And what a great time to celebrate. Whenever the whole world celebrates Christmas, let's celebrate what God has done for us. I was suicidal, but he came alongside. I was at my lowest low, and he understands what it's like to be me at my lowest low. He loved me enough to come where I was and feel my pain. Or maybe just like me, you've done some stupid things. And he gets you, even when others do not. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Somebody understands. He understands. I'm furious. He understands. I'm injured. He understands. I'm broken. He understands. I'm depressed. He understands. I can go to the rock of my salvation. I can go to the stone that the builders rejected. He is not just the God of the universe. He's not just the God of heaven and earth. He is mine. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. If I could ask the musos to come up, that'd be fantastic. Maybe we get ready to sing that Christmas carol we played in a moment. Born in a manger, given to you. When nobody gets you, nobody understands you, he does. He's yours. And nobody can take that away from you. And he came like all the good lovers do. And if you're going to stay together with somebody you love, you can't just see love from your side. Young couples may argue, I remember, back to the early days. Andrew and I, young couple, both strong-willed. But when you've been married a few years, you survive because you can see from the other person's perspective. For unto us Is anyone grateful that Jesus came in such a way that he gets you from your perspective? I came to see what it was like to be you. And the Bible refers to him in a couple of different books in the Bible as our kinsman redeemer. You cannot redeem what you are not kin to. We cannot add to him, diminish him. He is God. And for those of us who know Jesus today, we can be incredibly grateful, but also we can learn from the baby today. We can learn to see from the other perspective. We can acknowledge that whatever it is that we see in others that isn't quite right, God's got it. And so today, Lord, we thank you. Can we stand to our feet, church?